Well, good morning. It is a blessing to be with you all. Whenever I think of Myerstown, and the first thing that my first impressions of Myerstown without ever having been there was that I want to go there sometime because this place sends out missionaries. And again, as Brother Jim is going through the announcements, and you know, I think back through my time in Grenada and how many people from this congregation were sent out. I think of the work at Shenandoah you're doing there. I want to bless you all and encourage you to continue to send out people. The field are white unto harvest. And whenever you're tempted to say, but we need them here, that's a good sign. Those are the kind of people you want to send out, okay? We need them here. It's easier to raise up people right here than it is to get people to go. So I just bless you as you continue to serve here and as God gives opportunities, people have visions, keep doing what you're doing. I bless you in that. So I was seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, what do I share? You know, I'm out of touch with what's happening here. You know, Brother Jim didn't send me a list of problems and issues and sermon messages that I should preach. So I said, Lord, you know, what do we need to share? And the Lord just clearly gave me this message. And so as we're going to look at the Word of God today, I'm concerned today how many people in our churches are being deceived. And so this may be a little more of a teaching message, and that's why we're going to use a PowerPoint this morning. I don't know where you're at. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 4, so you can go ahead and turn there. 1 John chapter 4. And here's what I like about PowerPoint. For all you children that are in first or second grade on up, it's easy to take notes when the preacher has PowerPoint, okay? You can copy down. Now, I'm going to give you too much to copy down, but we'll give you a few points. And so that's what I told my young boys. My one son said, well, Dad, I don't know what to write down. I said, I'll put it up there for you, son. You can just copy her down. So the good news about PowerPoint is you can see it up there. I want to start with a story from 1 Kings chapter 13. You don't turn there, but 1 Kings chapter 13 has an interesting story to lead into this. The passage starts like this. There was a man of God that went up from Judah to Bethel. He was sent there by God to prophesy. He's to prophesy against King Jeroboam. That's always a bad sign when somebody comes to prophesy against you, but that's what he's supposed to do. He's to prophesy against King Jeroboam and against the altar there. So this man of God goes up to Bethel, and he makes this prophecy. This is his prophecy. He says, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And what he is going to do is he is going to offer priest on this altar, as he's up there. He's going to offer priest on this altar, and men's bones are going to be burned on this altar. This isn't a nice, feel-good, you know, thank you for coming prophet type of a message. And then he goes on to boldly enough to say, I'm going to give a sign that this is going to happen. The altar is going to be rent in two. It's going to fall apart, and the ashes are going to spill out. Now, if somebody's going to prophesy for you, you're right away saying, is this right or not? Well, it's nice when they give a sign because then you say, okay, we'll just watch. If a sign happens, it's going to happen. So here it is. Man of God from Bethel comes up to Bethel, makes his prophesy. Again, it's not a good one. Josiah's going to be born in the house of David. They're going to offer priests. Men's bones are going to be burned on this altar. Not good. And the sign. Altar's going to be rent in two. It's going to fall apart. Ashes are going to spill out. Now, King Jeroboam doesn't like this. A man coming in here like this, prophesying against him, against what's going on here in the temple. And so he says, lay hold on him. Now, when a king points at you and says, lay hold on him, that's bad news. But immediately when he said, lay hold on him, Scripture says his hand withered and he couldn't even bring it back to himself. So the muscles just like immediately deteriorated and his hand just, I don't know how. Wow. Now, that wasn't part of the sign. The prophet didn't say, you know, it was just like, whoo. And then he does this. He calls out to the man that he's just said, lay hold on him, and he says, heal me. Wow. I'm not sure if I would have healed him if I was that man. But he heals him. He calls out to God, heals him. And then the king, you talk about a turn of heart here. Then he says, I want you to come home and have lunch with me. So the king sees, and I'm sorry, I missed just a stage here. When he said, lay hold on him, the altar came apart. Ashes fell out. So there's the sign. It happened right there. The man heals him. So he says, this man is of God. He says, come home with me. You can have lunch with me. That's quite a reward. And if the king of your country says, come home and have lunch with me, wow. The man of God says this, says, I'm sorry, I can't go home with you. The word of God was for me to come to Bethel to make this prophecy, and I'm to go home a different way, and I'm not to eat anything while I'm here. The king knows enough now. You don't point at this man. You don't argue with him. He knows what he's doing. So fine, no problem. This man turns down dinner with the king because God said so. Don't eat, drink anything here. You go home, and you go home a different way. So he left. Now, in this audience, and again, I'm just telling you the story. If you said, like, I don't quite believe all this is true, you read it in 1 Kings chapter 13 this afternoon. There were some men in the audience that day that went home. It says they were sons of the prophet. There was an older prophet there. These sons of the prophet, they went home and they said, Dad, you wouldn't believe what we saw today. And they told him. Man came up, prophesied. King got angry, said, lay hold on him, and his sign came to pass. He healed him. And the old prophet said, well, where is he? He said, well, he wouldn't go home to eat lunch with the king, and he went a different way. And he says, get my donkey ready. I'm going to go get this guy. So this older prophet goes and overtakes him, the young prophet. And he overtakes him, and scripture says this. He says, listen, I want you to come home and have dinner with me. That's a no-brainer. If you're not going to turn down dinner with the king, you're going to turn it down with the prophet too, right? And that's what he does. He says, well, I'm sorry. The word of God came to me. He said, go to Bethel, make this prophecy. Don't eat or drink anything. Go home a different way. And then the old prophet said this. He says, I'm a prophet like you. And the word of God came to me and said, you're to come home and have dinner with me. Huh. Well, the word of God came to the young prophet and said, you don't eat or drink anything. You go right home. Now there's an older prophet who said, the word of God came to me and said, you come home and you have dinner with me before you go back your different way. Have you ever wondered if God's confused? You know God said this. And somebody else says, well, I know God said this. The young prophet. Okay. He went home with the older prophet. And the older prophet sets out this meal. So there he is eating with his older prophet and his son's there. And as he takes his first bite, he begins to eat. The older prophet says this. Because you disobeyed the word of the Lord, you will not make it home. You will die. Now, I don't know if that does anything in here to you, but that stirs something. I'm saying, you can't do that, old prophet. You told him, God said, come home and eat with me. And as soon as he does, you say, see, you disobeyed God. Now you're going to die. I don't think he would have had any appetite. I don't know. Did he finish the meal? What did they do? Gets back on his donkey and heads home, and a lion kills him. And the place is remembered where he dies. It says, as people went by there, they say, there lies the man who is disobedient to the word of God. In fact, the direct quote of what they said is this. It's the man of God who is disobedient to the word of God. A man of God who is disobedient to the word of God. A sad story. I want to be known as a man of God. I don't want to be known as a man of God who is disobedient to the word of God. And yet, there it is. What do you do when you've received a word from the Lord and someone else comes along and says, they've also got a word from the Lord, but it's a different message? What do you do with that? Is it right to challenge people saying, I've heard from God. You know, today there is so much done in the name of the Spirit. You know, the Spirit of God told me this, and I believe the Spirit of God speaks to us and tells us things. There's so much today done in the name of the Spirit. Some of it really is the Spirit of God. Unfortunately, much of it is not the Spirit of God at all. And brothers and sisters, my burden for you today is that we know how to discern, is this of God and is it not? Because many will say, and what we're going to do at the end today after we look at 1 John here, is it says, many within the church will deceive. We need to be careful that we're not deceived. How do we tell the difference? How do we know if it's of God or not? You know, when somebody says, God spoke to me, he said this, you know, who am I to challenge him? Say, no, I don't think so. Is it right? Should we? Let me tell you one more story, and then we'll get into 1 John chapter 4. It's been a few years ago in Thailand, another missionary lady, not with IGO, another evangelical work, was talking with our pastor on staff there and asked him how they're doing. He said, well, I'm not doing so good. She's having problems in her back. I said, well, what's the problems in your back? You know, her back is really bothering her. And well, what's going on? Well, the church that they're a part of there in their work in Chiang Mai, she is one of the people that at the end of the service, when the pastor, and I don't know how they finish their service, but when he, you know, displays his power, the Spirit of God, and I don't know what all he does, there's different people that are up front or come up front, and they fall over backwards. And then the people see, wow, the pastor really has power. And most of your floors in Thailand don't have carpet like we have here. Most of them are hard tile floor. So when you fall over backwards and you act like you're being pushed over by some force, you're going to hurt your back. So that's what's going on. Now, you can kind of smile at this because you're like, no, you see through this. But it didn't cross their mind that they could tell the pastor, no, we're not going to go up front and put on an act for the people. You know, I'm convinced that God is well able to knock anybody over if he wants. But for some reason, this pastor, this church, thinks that we need to help out God. I don't know why God wants to knock people over backwards. It never crossed their mind. You don't know what to do. You know, been to the doctor and he, stop falling over backwards. Tell that pastor that you can stand up front if he needs you to, but God's got to knock you over if you need to fall over. That's happening in churches today. It's called hypocrisy. It's called deception. And it's done in the name of the Spirit of God. Is that how God's Spirit works? Through acting? There's so much done in the name of the Spirit of God today. Is it right to challenge them? Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in this passage of Scripture here, we can see that we are in the first, right up front. And I'm putting it up here. If you can look, read in your Bible, you can read it from here. Right up front. This is what John says. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Right there it is, the start of the message. John says this. Don't believe every spirit. Try the spirits. And brothers and sisters, we need that today. Don't believe everything that's claimed to be done in the Spirit of God. Try the spirits. That doesn't mean you become a doubting Thomas, but you test it out. Just because somebody says it's of God doesn't mean it is. And we live in a day and age when there is so much that is claimed to be done in the name of God that isn't in the name of God. We got to know. Now, he doesn't just leave us here and say, try the spirits. He tells us how. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Verse 1. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. And we're just going to read through this passage here. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's just read that verse together, okay? This is encouraging words for us here. Let's read verse 4 together. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This message should in no way put fear in your heart, cause concern. It should bring clarity and courage. And we can start right there. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Many times when people say, yeah, the Spirit spoke to them, I believe the Spirit spoke to them. The question is, was it the Spirit of God or not? There is a spirit of truth. There's a spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. As a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We are told in this passage of Scripture to try the spirits. Is it of God? Is it not of God? We're not to just say, well, they said it's of God. They quoted Scripture. Do you know, I think every religion today comes out of an improper contextualization. They take something out of context and build a doctrine around it, build a whole religion out of it. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they are of God. So here's the question, and I hope this question is burning on your heart. So how do we know? How do we know if it's the Spirit of God? I'm going to give you three things, three tests that I believe come right out of this passage that bring clarity to me to say, is this of God? Okay, here we go. His Spirit will lead. And by the way, when we get into this, Jesus is a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He leads. Scripture says that my sheep know my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And he leads us. He doesn't chase us. He doesn't force us. He leads us. Jesus, in telling his disciples that I'm going to leave this world, and that wasn't good news for them because they have been following him, and now all of a sudden he's going to leave. This isn't good. But he says, don't worry. I'm going to send to you the Comforter, who's the Spirit of God. One of the names for the Spirit of God is a Comforter. And he's going to lead you into all truth. So as we look at these three things here of the Spirit of God, we're going to say this, his spirit will lead. And number one, it leads to Jesus. It leads to Jesus, okay? Whenever you want to know, is this of God? Well, is this message, is this person, are they pointing me to Jesus? Because the Spirit of God will point people to Jesus. We look at verse 2 of this passage says, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Did Jesus Christ really come in the flesh? Every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him. Is their message about Jesus? Are they promoting Jesus Christ? The Spirit of God will lead to Jesus. The Spirit of God always glorifies the Son, not himself. As I've studied the book of John, I see this. The Son glorifies the Father. You get that in John. The Son glorifies the Father. You can also read in John that the Father glorifies the Son. You also can read that the Spirit glorifies the Father and the Son. And who glorifies the Spirit? It doesn't say. You see, the Spirit came to point people to Jesus, to repentance. And the Spirit of God is not about glorifying the Spirit. Does that make the Spirit any less of the Trinity? No. The Father had a work, the Son has a work, the Spirit has a work. They are one God, three persons as one God, and the Spirit's job is to point people to Jesus Christ. It's to glorify the Father and the Son. And when you, if somebody's promoting a spirit that glorifies itself, it's not the Spirit of God. Are you with me? A spirit that glorifies itself, yeah, it's a spirit, but it's not the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is going to point us to Jesus Christ. Let's go on to the next one. His Spirit will lead us to love. And we can look at these verses again, verses 7 through 12 here. Love is of God. Unbelievable. Had a wonderful time real recently with a group of men in a good Bible-believing Anabaptist church. And afterwards, I was talking with two of the leaders. And they were saying, that's interesting that in our men's meeting here this morning, two of the brothers here don't get along. They don't talk to each other. We got problems. Brothers and sisters, if there's a brother or a sister that you can't talk to, you can't get along with, you don't have the love of God in your heart. The Spirit of God will lead to love. Ephesians, Paul said this in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love. And it is so easy to get in a love ditch or get in a truth ditch. You get in a love ditch, you're all about grace and no truth. People end up living in the flesh. People get in all truth and no love. They end up glorifying the flesh or trusting in their flesh. But it's speaking truth in love. And that's what the Spirit of God will do. His Spirit will lead us to love. And if God is in this, and there have been times when I know I need to confront a brother or sister, and in me, I'm kind of, and I know that I have got to settle down. I've got to make sure I love and I care about this brother, and then I go and talk. And when I can talk in love, that's when God's Spirit is working. If love isn't involved in my speaking of truth, and I'm not following Scripture, the Spirit of God will lead to love. It will lead you to love the brother or sister so much that you will speak truth. You'll speak because you love them. Not because you want to point out their error, but you care. His Spirit will lead to love. Let's go on. One more. His Spirit will lead to truth. God's word is truth. And the Spirit of God cannot help but point us to truth. So any spirit of God, anyone that has a message that contradicts the word of God, that is not the spirit of God. God's spirit never contradicts the word. And today, so often, we get this fight going on between the spirit of God and the word of God. And brothers and sisters, we're not fighting the spirit of God and the word of God. We're fighting the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit anti-God, when that happens. Because the spirit of God will point us to the word of God. Yes, there are times when I may not understand scripture, and I need to dig in and say, is this what it's saying? And the word of God, I can, okay, this is what it means. But God's spirit will never lead us away from the word of God. Never will the spirit of God tell you to disobey the word of God. When that old prophet told the young man, you come back with me, God told me something different. You know what? He was lying to him. And when you read the word of God and you know God's word is calling you to this, and then some voice is telling you, no, you don't need to do that. I don't doubt it's a spirit. But it's a spirit anti-God. You with me? The spirit, his spirit will lead to Jesus, will lead to love, will lead to truth. And if your whatever message, whatever person you're dealing with does not pass these tests, it's not of God. And you need to say, I'm sorry, I cannot receive that. I can't go along with that. The spirit of God will lead to these. Let me just read you for verse. Actually, I think I have them up here for us. Yes, let's look at these verses up here. And I will pray, John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you, the Spirit of truth. Let's look at another one in John 15. But when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Again, points us to Jesus. He will testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Let's look at another one. John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient, or it's necessary for you that I go away. Jesus talking to his disciples, and I believe this was either in the garden or on the way to the garden, where he's telling them what's going to happen here. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. Listen, some of us go to the extreme, and because of all that's being done in the name of the Spirit of God, and you know it's not right, and you've seen stuff done in the name of the Spirit of God, and you're like, this is so wrong, that we get afraid when people talk about the Spirit of God. Don't go in that ditch. Because the Spirit of God dwells within you as believers, and you know the voice, the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will lead us into truth. We don't need to be fearful. And I'll give you some clear tests that define the spirit of this world in a few moments here. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, not justify it, reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Get a hold of that. He's not going to speak of himself. But whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Because of what we face in the church today, I'm going to tell you not only the three things that the Spirit of God will lead you to, but I'm going to point out to you six clear things that the spirit of this world will lead you to. Let me, before I put them up here for you, let me tell you a story that happened to me. And again, I don't use names. This is a real-life story. Happened to us at IGO. We had a student who came to IGO, was there all year, 1 year, for all the 8 months, both semesters, and some real growth. It was exciting to see the growth in this young man's life. This person had some difficult things happen in their life. Towards the end of the second semester, still had, I don't know if we had one term to go, but there was a ministry trip coming up and then a debriefing week for sure. It was a Saturday evening, and we invited the students and the staff over to our house for a picnic in our backyard and enjoy some time of singing, playing games at our place, and we like to do that every now and then. the student wasn't there. And so after supper, I realized this, I asked the dean, I said, hey, where's this priest? I don't know. I said, I'm concerned about it, because I knew he had worked through some things in his life. He had some difficulty, and I want to make sure he's doing okay. So I said, when you get back to Igo, just check, make sure he's doing all right. We got back to Igo, and he called me, the dean, and he said, he's not here. I said, that's not good. You don't know where he went? No. Does anybody else? No, nobody knows where he went. The student had a cell phone, and so I said, I'll try to get in touch with him. A lot of our students don't have cell phones over there because of service, different things, so on. So I tried to call, and it took me a little while, but I finally was able to get through. When I got a hold of the student, I said, where are you? He said, I'm hiding out with Jesus. I said, where are you? And he wouldn't tell me. I said, what's going on? He said, well, a messenger told me that I'm to leave. I'm not to listen to any man. I'm just to listen to Jesus. Well, it took me a little bit of time to convince this young man that said, listen, I will let you leave. I won't make you stay at Igo. This messenger had told this man that, you know, you guys at Igo and in the church, they're controlling. Get away from them and just follow Jesus. You know, just follow Jesus. That's really good advice. Finally, he agreed that he'll tell me where he's at. I went and visited him. It was midnight by then. I went and visited him. He was in a guest house. He had all his bags packed. He was ready to leave, trying to get a ticket to fly back to the other side of the world. He's going to get out of there. The only problem was his passport was in the safe in the office at Igo, and that kind of hurts you from flying, because we keep our students' passports in there so they're safe, not because we're trying to control. And again, I said, you know what? Val and I are not keeping anybody here. If it's best for you to go, I'll take you to the airport. I'll get your passport. I'll let you go. We began to talk to him. I said, who's this messenger? It was somebody who had been on fire for God and was giving him counsel. Don't listen to man. They'll control you. And as I began to listen, and this was somebody that was within the church, I said, is that what has been happening here? Have we been controlling you? He said, no. Is it best for you to go home now and not finish what you've started here? No. And as I sat and listened to him and just asked some questions, and began to shine light on the darkness and the deception that so-called a messenger had told him. And this was a friend from back in the States that was giving him this counsel that, you know, you get out of there and those guys are just control you. And you can only go so far with Igo and with Mennonites, and you just got to get out of there and so on. He began to realize that, no, this guy's leading him astray. Had been a friend of his. He had gone on ministry trips with this guy that was giving him this advice. I came to find later on this young man who was so fired up for God is actually doesn't need anybody speaking his voice and is no longer in the church and just kind of on his own. That's where that voice will take you. After probably an hour just talking and listening, he agreed, no, he wants to come back. I took him back to Igo that night. We're in the middle of the night now. It's 2:00. And as we're dragging all his two big suitcases, all his belongings, back up. We come through the third floor, you know, the dorm's on the fourth floor. We come through the third floor, and we're headed up. You know, everybody's sleeping. It's dark in there. And he turned to me, and he said this, it is so good to be back. Now, you may think this sounds like a joke, because like in one night, he packed up, and he's going to go. But this guy was listening to a voice. He's going to get out of there. And I praise God that I could speak truth into him, and that he stayed. He didn't leave. And he thought he's following the Spirit of God. Somebody's got a message for him. We need to be careful. Let me give you some things here. The spirit of this world will lead to, and these are clear. I encourage you to write these down if you can, okay? The spirit of this world will lead to isolation, to separate you, which is anti-relationship. God is a relational God. And any voice that's telling you, don't listen to people, stay away from people, you become an island, it's not of God. Preached on the streets of Grenada one time, and a man came up and said, you know, want to know who we are and where we're from? And I told him a little bit. And then I asked him about what church you go to, and he looked at me and said this, church? I ain't need no church, man. I had a church right here. Well, Christ lives within us. Can't argue with that. You know what the Word of God says? We are members of a body. Not one of you, not one of us today are the body. We're members of a body. And the church is a body with members interacting. We need each other. We need to be connected to the local body. Any spirit that says you can do it on your own is the spirit of the world. Anti-relationship. If there's a spirit that causes you to hold people at a distance, God is a connecting God. Life means connection. Death means separation. So when the Spirit of God is working in us, it's going to cause us to want to connect with people. We want brotherhood. We want fellowship. Yes, in a sinful world, and as people who still have, we still struggle, we still have our issues, sometimes we struggle with connecting. But as God's people, the Spirit of God will lead you to connect, to want to connect, to want people to speak into your life, to want to speak into other people's life. Isolation, anti-relationship, that is not of God. Let's continue on here. A spirit of rebellion, anti-authority. You see, what this messenger was telling the student from Igo is that follow Jesus. That's right. Don't listen to man. Really, you want to discern what that voice is? It's anti-authority. And you can cloak it with righteousness and say, just obey the word of God. Don't obey man. And you've just contradicted the word of God. Because the word of God says that we are all under authority and we need to honor our authorities. So if there's a spirit that's saying, you don't listen to authorities, you don't listen to anybody but Jesus. Well, Jesus told you to listen to people. Young people, a voice that's telling you to rebel against your parents, to disobey the church, to go against it, that's not of God. Anti-authority. That one is very prevalent in the world today. Anti-authority. Who do they think they are to talk to me? Jesus, when the Word became flesh, one of the most amazing things he did is he submitted to authority when he was God himself. Anti-authority. We've got to keep moving here. Number three is independence, the spirit of independence. Anti-brotherhood. I don't really want to connect with the church. I don't want to be a part of a body. That's an independent spirit, anti-brotherhood. That is not of God, anti-brotherhood. And that is so common today. We need to connect with the church. Anti-brotherhood. Number four, self-exaltation, which is anti-brokenness. You know what I find in these people that say, you know what, just go do this? There's this anti-brokenness. That is the spirit of the world. Because the Spirit of God will lead us to humility and brokenness, which true boldness comes when we're broken. Be careful of an anti-brokenness, self-exaltation. Self-guided. You know, it's interesting that this young man didn't consult Val or myself or the dean and say, hey, I'm going to pack up my bags and I'm going to leave. What's your input on this? No, he didn't want our input on this. Self-guided. He's not going to tell us that. It's interesting that the advice and what followed out in this situation and in many others is we do things in secret. We don't want people to know. That is your first clue. It's not of God. God's a God of light. And what you need to do, you don't need to do it in secret. You don't need to pack up your bags and nobody's looking. If there's things you need to do in secret, God's Spirit isn't in that and he's not leading you in that. We are children of light. We don't need to hide what's going on. But a self-guided anti-surrender. And lastly, secrecy, and I already jumped onto this, anti-confession. The Spirit of God brings us to confession. But when we do things in secrecy, that's not of God. And here's the sobering things, brothers and sisters. And I encourage you, if you can write these things down and just make sure anything that's anti-relationship, anti-authority, anti-brotherhood, anti-brokenness, anti-surrender, anti-honesty or confession, that is not of God. You can write that down. That's the spirit of the world. The Spirit of God will lead us to Jesus, will lead us to love, will lead us to truth. And here's why I'm bringing this message today. These spirits work within the church. Now, this isn't my idea. This isn't because I've seen these things happen, I'm telling you. These things are working within the church. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transferring themselves into the apostles of Christ. And don't marvel at this, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Brothers and sisters, we got to be careful. Because deception is going to come from within. That doesn't mean you look at everybody like, oh, I can't trust you. That means we're careful the messages that we believe that what comes in. And I hope there's a brotherhood of trust here. But we try it. Is this really pointing me to truth? Does this really cause me to want to love the brotherhood and care? Let's look at another passage in Scripture. Peter said this, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Those are big, bad words. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And what a sad situation today when the name of God is shamed because of people being led astray by a spirit that's not of God. Even denying the Lord that bought them. You know, if Jesus Christ had to deny himself, had to lay down his life, who do we as followers are to think that we can just kind of do our own thing? Now let me do this, and you don't have to write down all these things. Maybe some of these you want to. But I want to leave you with this. The Spirit of God brings. You want to know, again, the Spirit of God's going to lead to Jesus, to truth, to love. And we see what the anti, what the world is. But this is what the Spirit of God, these are some fruits of the Spirit. Also, this is what how we tell the difference when it's not of the Spirit. The Spirit of God brings peace. You know there's a peace in your heart. That's of God. God brings peace. The Spirit of God brings love, brings hope. Now, the Spirit of God also convicts. And when we're under conviction, we're not usually happy and feel good, and we want to stand up and give a testimony about how good God is and nothing, right? Now, the spirit of this world, the Scripture also says that Satan is an accuser of the brethren, and he tries to bring you down in discouragement. And so sometimes people wonder, how do I tell the difference between if it's the Spirit of God bringing conviction or if Satan just trying to be an accuser of the brethren? There's an easy difference, brothers and sisters. When the Spirit of God is bringing conviction, there's hope. You know that confession, repentance, honesty will bring hope. When the accuser of the brethren is speaking to you, there's no hope. It's just despair. And God is not a God who has a message of despair. God's a God with a message of hope. Amen? You with me? That's a clear difference. Get a hold of that one. There's hope at the end of the conviction. But when it's just an accusation, no. If there's no hope in that, we know that's not of God. So it brings hope. There's patience. We're willing to wait. There's kindness, mercy, honesty. There's joy, compassion, understanding, holiness. We live in a time today when it is made out that the church can be just like the world in holiness. What's holiness today? The Spirit of God is going to lead us to holiness. God is a just God. Brings truth. A whole list of things that I'm grateful for today. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know where you're at in your walk with the Lord. I don't know what you're facing here as a church. It grieves my heart when people are deceived. And why I preach this message today is I want you to be alert. Is it of God? I hope to have given you tools to discern, is it of God or is it not? We need to be careful today. Just because I say, oh, I got a word from the Lord, oh, listen to it, but then try it. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. Don't believe everything that comes out there. The Spirit of God leads to Jesus, leads to truth, leads to love. That's a sure test. And may we, as God's people, be faithful. We don't need to live in fear that we're going to be deceived. We just need to stay in the Word. We need to stay connected in the brotherhood. There's safety in a brotherhood. Because where one of us could tend to be deceived, we can say, okay, brothers, I've heard this message. Is this right? And we can pray. We can discern together. Again, remember, God has made us as members of a body. Don't reject the counsel and the fellowship of the brotherhood. We need each other. I need people to point out things in my life. We need each other. We for sure need that in a day like today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the brothers and sisters here in Myerstown. Father, I have so much confidence in their leadership and in the brothers and sisters here that they want to serve you. They don't want to be deceived. And Father, I pray that today would be helpful to them. I pray that your Spirit, who is a comforter, who leads and guides us into truth, I pray that your Spirit would speak to each heart. Father, if there's someone here that's been wrestling with maybe a message, maybe something they've heard, maybe something they've read, maybe whatever it may be, Father, may your Spirit speak into their situation. And Father, we ask all this so that we can bring your name glory, that your kingdom can be advanced and your work can be done here. I pray your blessing on each one here. In the name of Jesus, amen.